This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station. Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station.
BFM 89.9, I'm Roshan Kanasen, and you're now listening to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Now, with the MCO and COVID-19, yes, a lot has changed in terms of the way we work and live. But before that, we had interest rates cut in the local scene, which spurred some people to start thinking about big ticket purchases. But with everything we're seeing now, the question is, should you continue or think about these things in 2020? And to help me with this conversation, I have on the line with me Joyce Chua, CEO of Success Concepts, and licensed financial planner with Principal Asset Management. Joyce, thank you for joining me on the line today. I hope you're in good spirits at home.
Yes, I am. Keeping safe and staying healthy, that's important.
So Joyce, I think we've talked about this before, how the lower rates could spur some kind of expenditure in terms of thinking about big ticket purchases, whether it's a car or a house. But this was, of course, much earlier in the year. With the current situation we're facing now, how should we think about this?
Well, if you had thought about buying or replacing an old car because simply because it's taking money out of your pockets rather than giving you return on consumption, there's this thing called return on consumption as well, though it's a depreciating asset, then this is the perfect time to look at it because interest rates have come down and definitely saving some costs. But if you're just you have not thought about buying a car, but you thought, okay, the interest rates have come down and your car is really functioning and you want to change it, I think you probably need to think twice, because in a situation like now, we really need to think of your own financial plan, whether it's in place. And yeah, the other key question is, how are you funding part of the deposit? Are you selling off your investments, which is not the right time to? Or do you have a sinking fund that you had planned? A sinking fund is where you had put in money for a planned purchase. The bottom line is, had you planned for it? You know, had you actually looked into your finances for it? If you have, then this is the right time. Don't just put the cart before the horse where you are not getting the order right, but look at whether you actually need it. Because if it's a car, then of course a depreciating asset and the interest rates are not going to work for you. You're going to actually have more money out of your net worth. But if it's a house and you've been looking at it and done your homework, yes, by all means, maybe, you know, hasten your house search because you know, interest rates are really attractive now.
So from what I'm hearing here, there are really two factors at play. One is people who are thinking about these big ticket purchases because rates are coming down. And two, people who are actually needs-based, looking at their needs, want to buy a new car or want to buy a new house or a home or their first home for that matter. So let's break down those two things. When it comes to people who are, let's say, looking at just purely on the interest rate side, they think it's a good deal because rates have come down or they expect rates to continue to go down. What are some of the most important things to think about before you try to take advantage of that?
I think you mentioned about the fact, number one is, where are you funding your deposit? I mean, if you're paying for your house, there is a deposit that you need to put in. Where are you funding it? Had you planned for it? The important thing during this time is, after having put aside money for it, Are you breaking your, you know, that little thing on the wall where it says break only during emergency, the bomba thing on your wall? Are you breaking your emergency bucket? That's what I'm saying. I mean, if you are actually needing more emergency money now during this difficult period, then you should actually not consider it. Maybe delay that, because interest rates will come down further. It's not really at the bottom yet. There will be more cuts, as you said. So consider whether your plan have been in place, whether you have, very importantly in this time, whether you have an emergency bucket. Do you have enough to survive for the next 6, 9, even 1 year? And how are you funding it? How are you paying for it? If you're selling an investment, don't do it. If you are breaking your emergency bucket, don't do it. But only if you have planned for it. And most importantly is, are you buying an appreciating or depreciating asset? I mean, if you're just looking at the interest rates that's low now, it is perfect to actually get into, say, for example, I think there are investors who who get into ASB loan schemes where they get a loan and then they actually buy an Amana Saham Bumi Putra, which gives you dividends. That actually makes perfect sense. That is totally logical, and you just don't have, I mean, you're just getting a lower rate, but you're getting a dividend out of it. That's fine. You're putting money in your pocket. But if you're not putting money in your pocket and you're buying a car, which is a depreciating asset, then think again, relook your finances, relook at your emergency bucket, whether you're busting it or you're just selling investments just to get that dream car. But if your car is rickety and you're spending a lot of money on it, then by all means, change it, because it's a cost-benefit equation as far as that's concerned.
So Joyce, that then goes to the second part, right? The needs-based part. If you are someone who's been planning, say, you already said from last year, 2019, I need to get a new vehicle or I would like to move into this home in 2020, and you were already planning this out, how does the COVID-19 outbreak and the MCO change those plans? What must I do to adapt to better prepare myself here?
If one had started to look at buying an asset back in 2019 and had planned for this, then carry on with your plans. The only thing is to relook whether what circumstances have changed for you. If you are in a business of your own, has your business been affected? Or maybe some relatives are depending on you. You know, have your finances changed? If it has, then definitely the most important bucket right now is your emergency bucket. Because I know businesses who only have maybe less than a month or 1 to 2 months kind of emergency, and they're just getting out, they're just going bust soon. So if you are not employed and you don't have a steady job and your business is affected, perhaps relook at it, maybe delay it if you can't. Okay. I know someone who wanted to get a car and rates have come down. She asked me whether she should get it and she has her own business. And I said, if your car can continue, you can delay it, please, because rates are coming down and you probably get a better rate later on. Is it a need right now? Is it a want? So a car is still moved. Well, a car is 10 years old, but it's still all right. You know, so long as it doesn't take too much money out of repairs from you.
So that's the thing, right? It comes down to also how prepared are you for an emergency? And right now we're living through some very uncertain times. I think job security for many is also on the top of their minds. So even if I was planning and I was ready for it and I had the cash buffer, because things are so uncertain, should I still hold off?
I think life goes on, Roshan. Say I put myself in their shoes and I've got my financial plans in place, I've got my buffers, and if I had wanted to get a car, this is a perfect time too. I mean, you've heard about the fact that cash is king, right? But cash is king is only when it is either invested or utilized, because if not, just cash is just paper in the bank. And what's a financial plan for? What's the point of getting yourself ready for times like this? It is times like this that you who have actually planned, who are actually in charge of your finances, should be taking, well, in inverted commas, advantage of situations like this. It's about a level of confidence. If you're confident about your plan, like those who have a financial plan in place, this is the time to actually go for bargains. You know, if I were to get a car, I'll probably wait a while, even though I don't have to hold it. I don't have hold it off, because rates will come down. And if it's a house, then I'll be looking at what are the bargains in town, because it's then a buyer's market right now, yeah, with the fact that interest rates have come down. So if it's about your level of confidence, and have you got that 6 to 12 months of emergency? Have you got your plans in place for your financial goals? I mean, have you inventorized? Do you even know your cash flow and your net worth? I mean, these are two very important financial statements. It's simple to do. You just need to look into your financial statements. Your cash flow, is it healthy? Is your net worth healthy to support your financial goals? Then therefore, this is the time for you if you are financially in charge. But if you're not too sure, yes, by all means, hold off. Start re-looking at your financial plan. Look at your two financial statements. Is it giving you a surplus? What about your net worth? You know, and And what are your, if your income is not enough, if the surplus is not very big, think about what sources of income can you get. Maybe if you live in a house, you may want to rent out a room and monetize some of your assets. Or maybe you want to give some tuition or training how to use, IT, especially to the non-IT people. We are forced to be part of the digital transformation right now, whether or not you're IT savvy. Those sort of things can give you extra income. And then list out your expenses. You know, what are your discretionary, not discretionary? What are these that you can cut down? You know, what do you call that? Prioritize. What are the things that you have to pay? By all means, what are the ones that you don't have to pay? So, And that sort of thing, Roshan, you know what I mean? You need to be financially in charge.
Speaking about being financially in charge, Joyce, up next we're going to be talking about how to put some money to work in this environment. You're listening to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. Stay tuned.
Ringgit and Sense on BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Ringgit and Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. This morning, I'm speaking to Joyce Chua, CEO of Success Concepts and licensed financial planner with Principal Asset Management. Now, Joyce, let's talk about putting money to work. The buzz right now is a lot of times we're talking about it's an uncertain time. Where do you best put your money here? Do you have any thoughts on how we should be asset allocating at this point?
Okay, you know, before I even answer that, Roshan, you know, there are a lot of differences to the listeners between investing and speculating. So, you know, investing is for the long term and for a certain goal, and it's preferably 5, 10 and more years. Speculating is just punting what you have in the stock market and then maybe after about a couple of weeks or a couple of days or a couple of months and then you actually sell it off, catching the low. So, yeah, I'm talking about investing, not speculating on finding the best trades in town. And as far as investing is concerned, it is quite hard to do this, to do it at this point in time for a lot of people. No matter how savvy you are in investment, it can be quite hard, especially in the first weeks of March, where you see just a nosedive downwards and nobody really want to catch what you call a falling knife. But as things have kind of like smoothen out. In fact, I invested, Roshan, to be exact, on the 23rd of March because I felt that it was still falling, but I managed to be able to catch part of the bottom. And that's not meant for trading. It's meant for long term. So how do you invest? It goes back to basics, you know. What portions of your money is bonds? What portion of it is equities? And if you are having too much in your portfolio as bonds, and what bonds or FD or anything that's fixed in income, and you're not earning much from now, you know, everything went down, including fixed income rates, FD rates have come down, then it is a time to actually just do this in stages into equities. And equities can be good stocks, that you have had a good experience with, or you know they are good stocks, they will never go away, they'll never go bankrupt, or you go into a diversified portfolio of funds if you like to, you know. So so what I did as part of my own investment portfolio is I bought some stocks that had actually gone really below its average, but they are good ones. They have good ROEs, return on equity. And then I bought some funds which had come down because I had bought it earlier and now it's on the cheap. So if it's mega sale, why don't I buy now? I mean, if your shoes are on mega, your favorite shoes are on mega sale, why wouldn't you buy 3 pairs? So I went out and bought some more.
So essentially, what you're looking at is one, you are considering that some of the things you're looking at are very well valued at this point, but even then you've diversified where you put your money, so you don't put all your eggs into one basket. Now, when we're talking about, we were talking earlier about fixed deposit and the yield they provide, one thing that's really being talked about are high yielding dividend stocks. Do you have any thoughts here, and maybe things that we need to watch out when we look at these type of equities?
Okay, so high dividend yielding stocks just merely means that it gives you a high dividend versus its earnings, right? So So, and it's very attractive to Malaysians because every Malaysian investor loves dividend, and for the fact that it gives you income, and sometimes this can come in sheepskin, wolf in, well, they are not wolves, but sheepskin. It can be masked as a good stock to have simply because you're getting income, not knowing that some of these stocks may not have a good return on equity. They may also have excessive debt. And the funny thing is some stocks have got these things where earnings are more than dividends. So dividend yield is earnings dividends divided by earnings, right, Roshan? Mm-hmm. And you'd be surprised, some stocks have got more than 100% dividend yield, which means that how are they fund? They're not giving you dividends out of their earnings, but they're probably giving you dividends just to make you happy. So I'm not too, I'm not saying that the high dividend yield stocks are not good, but I'm saying that let's look at the stock from the perspective of the total picture. Whether the kind of dividend yield is giving you, what kind of return on equity they're giving you, how much debt do they have, rather than just getting the dividends. It's the same with mutual funds, you know, Roshan. A lot of people just invest in mutual funds just right before a dividend declaration, which is absolutely not prudent because it doesn't make sense, especially with a mutual fund. It's left pocket and right pocket. The next day after the dividend is given, the NAV comes down. So don't be, in inverted commas, fooled by such commercials as far as high dividend yields for a stock is concerned or a declaration of a mutual fund dividend is concerned. It doesn't really make much difference. But having said that, yes, high dividend yield stocks can be a good buffer in your stock portfolio. As you know, I mentioned I have a stock portfolio. So during this time, I buy stocks. During this time, I buy mutual funds. Like you said, one is diversified, one is not so diversified. So have high dividend yielding stocks just with the right high dividend yielding stocks as a buffer, because they're usually good in times like this where you need to fill up your emergency bucket. You may have been using it, and it gives you also a sense of security, because I think at the end of the day, when it comes to money, it's about emotions. When you feel secure and confident, you make the right decisions.
Yeah, so essentially, just what I'm hearing there is, not all dividend yields are created equal. Some companies provide good dividend yields and have sound fundamentals, and some may be providing high dividends to keep investors happy, but don't have the money to really fund that. So that's not sustainable in the longer run, and these companies could get into big trouble later on, especially if they're paying more dividends than they are earning in income on their fundamental side.
Yeah. Yes, because when you buy a stock, it's not just the dividend, right? It's also the capital appreciation, the total return. So no point getting high dividends and you get negative capital appreciation. At the end, you're actually having a zero or a sub-zero kind of return. So look at it as a totality, not just dividend alone.
All right, Joyce. So this is obviously the first crisis for many young people out there. There are some sectors that could be hit very hard, including travel and aviation. And there are a lot of people who are employed by those sectors, or even like SMEs that maybe don't make it through this. What would you advise people who are worried about job security at this point and are concerned about that?
You know, there's always this Murphy's Law, right? That, you know, anything can go wrong. So, you know, and this crisis came as a total surprise to everyone. Shock. And it's fast, shocking, and we had no time to prepare for it. So for those who are, you know, what's my advice in case something like that happen again, or when this actually is over, please get your financial plans in place. I mean, yes, there are the people in travel industry, in SMEs, they probably have no more income at this moment. So my advice is this: make hay while the sun shines. I've always heard it during crisis periods. I heard it 10 years ago. I heard it in 97. What does it mean? It means that make the best of your time and opportunities while there's a chance to. So when this is over, and hopefully, I believe life will come back to its normal and the tap is turned back on again, start on your start on your finances. You know, we have put it off far too long. I mean, that's the one of the last things that we really want to look at, because we're just too busy with life. And we don't, we, you know, there's this inertia thing about starting a plan. So it's compulsory to have a date, I would say, have a date with your money or with your finances every month or every half yearly, every yearly. Have a date. Sit down and look at your financial health. And two important financial health areas that's simple to set up is, what's your cash flow? What do you have at the end of the month? And what's your net worth? Are you buying too much? Are you getting too much bad liabilities? Are you not turning your money, your surplus into assets? Where have your money gone to? And the most important thing is set up your emergency funds. You know, I mean, if at all you find that your financial statements are just too depressive to set up, because there's nothing really to set up, then start with your emergency funds, because your emergency funds would get you through, you know, times like this. It will tie you through. So we've always said about emergency funds, but surprisingly, I've seen individuals only having half a month or 1 month or at the most 3 months, and that's it. And they just go bust. So it's really not an option to delay on having your plan. So it's compulsory to look at it right now, if you can. I mean, right now or after this is over, and make hay while the sun shines.
So priority number one, once you can, once this passes, is if you can do it now, or when once this passes, is to build that emergency buffer fund and make sure that you keep that for only emergencies.
Okay, yeah. Maybe, you know, when you look at emergency, when you look at emergency buffer funds, you can also set up a sinking fund. You know, I've never really talked about sinking funds. Sinking funds, we only refer it to our property maintenance sinking fund. We pay 10% out of that. But we need to have a sinking fund ourselves. The problem is a lot of us break our emergency fund when it's not emergency. And when it's emergency, you don't have enough of that emergency fund. So instead of just an emergency fund, have a sinking fund. What's a sinking fund? A fund is a fund where you reserve or you save for expected expenses. For example, buying a car, upgrading your house or buying a house or going for a holiday, expected expenses. Emergency fund is meant for unexpected expenses. For example, your tire burst, you get for your emergency fund. So there has to be a difference in that. I find that a lot of people actually, just break their emergency glass when it's, you know, just for fun, just for some splurge. So don't do that.
All right. And Joyce, thank you so much for joining me on the line today.
Thank you.
I was speaking to Joyce Chua, CEO of Success Concepts and licensed financial planner with Principal Asset Management. Now, this was Ringgit & Sense, the show that's all about personal finance. I'm Roshan Kanisen for BFM 89.9.
Ringgit & Sense on BFM 89.9, the business station. Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.